Our lesson this morning comes from Psalm 137, and I'll be reading it from Peterson's The Message. Hear God's word. Alongside Babylon's rivers, we sat on the banks. We cried and cried, remembering the good old days in Zion. Alongside the quaking aspens, we stacked our unplayed harps. That's where our captors demanded songs, sarcastic and mocking. Sing us a happy Zion song. Oh, how could we ever sing God's song in this wasteland? If ever I forget you, Jerusalem, let my fingers wither and fall off like leaves. Let my tongue swell and turn black if I fail to remember you. If I fail, dear Jerusalem, to honor you as my greatest. God, remember those Edomites. Remember the ruin of Jerusalem. That day they yelled out, wreck it, smash it to bits. And you, Babylonians, ravagers, a reward to whoever gets back at you for all you've done to us. Yes, a reward to the one who grabs your babies and smashes their heads on the rocks. May God give us understanding of this harsh word. Let's take a moment of prayer. Amen. I have a question for you. How is your prayer life? Let me rephrase that. Do you find the time to talk to God? Do you feel comfortable in your conversations? Now, I only ask that because I was saddened to read recently how there are so many folks out there, even those who attend church regularly, who feel a certain awkwardness when they try to pray. And many of us from a very early age have been taught that God is so holy that in our desire to revere Him, respect Him, know that God is something greater than we can even understand, that sometimes it puts distance between us. And He may seem so far away and so busy that our concerns may seem irrelevant to Him. Or He may feel at times that He just doesn't hear. We may not even know how to find the words that we need to tell Him those things on our hearts. And what happens when we're angry? What happens when we feel betrayed? What happens when the world seems to be falling apart around us? How do we talk to Him about those things? How do we reconcile this God of grace and glory and all this good stuff with the real life, day-to-day things that come into our lives? How do we talk to Him when we're angry? How do we talk to Him when our hearts are broken? How do we talk to Him when we see the viciousness in the world? When everything seems so broken apart and everyone is so angry and so busy calling names and they call themselves Christians? How do we make sense of all of it? And how do we put it all together? Is there a time and a way to tell God how upset we are and still to respect Him? Is there a way to cry out? This morning's psalm. The psalmist is brokenhearted. He's lost everything he knew, everything that was familiar. The center of their spiritual life was the temple. And they would go and they would make offerings to God and they would pray. And they felt comfortable and confident that God was there and hearing them. And yet then out of nowhere, in spite of all their efforts to be faithful, the Babylonians come in and they take over. They destroy everything that they know and they take them captive. And they drive them out of their land, and suddenly they find themselves with nothing. Slaves, abused, ridiculed, made fun of. Can you even for a minute imagine what that would feel like? There are those in our country who know what that feels like. We don't like to talk about it. But how would you respond? How do you respond in your life when you hit those harsh, hard times? Do you try to pretend that everything's okay? Oh yeah, that was a bad thing that happened, but I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm good. Oh, God's good. Yeah, everything's great. That's not real. It's not real. This passage this morning that I read is one of the harshest. Speaking of the God of love and how he teaches us to love our enemies, for him to very honestly be so angry, so hurt, so lost, that he would ask that his enemies' babies, innocent babies, that their heads be crushed against a rock. Yeah, he's feeling pain. He's feeling deep, deep pain. And he's saying it like it is. Now that doesn't mean that he is acting out on it. That's a clear, important distinction to make. He is not doing those things. But he's honest about what he's feeling. He's honest about what he's feeling, and he's telling God the truth of his feelings. And that is where our real journey with God starts. Each of us will go through things that rip us apart inside. Each of us. It's sort of like death and taxes. That's going to be a given. There is no way to avoid the pain in this world, in this life, in this brief life. And for us to deny it is to live without understanding of this world, and without understanding of who God can be in our lives. Our real relationship with God doesn't come in fake conversations. It doesn't come in pretending respect. It doesn't come in us just trying to get by and ignore what we're really feeling. Our relationship with God comes at those times when we feel that everything important has been ripped from us, and when we feel we can be honest in saying what we really think. There's no other way. A real relationship comes with honesty. And it's in those times of brokenness and despair and hopelessness that God moves close. That doesn't mean that that pain goes away. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden things are fixed. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden life is joyful. But what it does mean is that you are loved. And that you follow a God who can take your anger as well as he can take your praise. And a God who wants to help heal you and to give you a joy that transcends any of the pain you feel. I started loving God from an early age. I knew him as a little child with an abusive father. But you know when my real journey began? Began in a night of quiet desperation when I shook my fists at him. I shook my fists at him and I challenged him. I still shake my fist from time to time. This week, I shook my fist. There are three families whose hearts are breaking. Some of you have read the story, heard the story about the student down at Rutger and the two students that did something stupidly foolish that resulted in a suicide. Those kids, they grew up not far from me in a school that I drive past all the time. They're going as freshmen to the college where both my kids, second generation, attended. And I read and hear and I weep, even as I know God is weeping. Three good kids, confused, as kids are, doing stupid things as kids do. One life lost and two others lost. Can they be redeemed? And their families, the pain that all those families are going through. And yeah, I shake my fists as I cry for all three families. There's stuff we don't understand in this world, and that's not going to change. One thing I can say is that no matter how much I shake my fist, I can still come away thanking God, just as the psalmist did. If you look at the next psalm, he goes from his anger to saying, thank you. Everything in me says, thank you. Angels listen as I sing my thanks. I kneel in worship facing your holy temple, and I say it again, thank you. Those are hard things to reconcile, aren't they? Deep pain, anger, fear, and gratitude. It's what makes our walk of faith so challenging and so confusing at times. But I can tell you with assurance that as you speak to God from your heart, he will hear you. And as you speak to him regularly from your heart with honesty, he will respond. And even as those Israelites lost so much and went through pure hell within their lives and were still able to come back and say, thank you, so will you. That's the promise. And it's for real. Let us pray. Almighty God, these can seem like dark times. And yet if we look back upon your history, we know that each of your people, all of your people throughout history have gone through hard times, painful times. And yet you are still victorious over all these things. We pray for your healing in the brokenness, in our lives and the lives of others. And we pray, Lord, that no matter how frustrated and angry and hurt we become, we might never lose faith, and we might never lose a sense of compassion and forgiveness to others. In your name we pray. Amen.